a Nacho Radio podcast.
Hello there, hello there, hello there. Everywhere we go, we say
hello there.
Hello there, hello there, hello there. Your happiness will grow, just say
hello there.
This happy phrase can do wonders for you. Learn to say it, it's so easy to do. Hello there, hello there, hello there, everybody, and they'll all say hello there to you.
Oh, hello there, patrons. Welcome to another
hello there, Bossa
Nova. Hello there. Dave and Darren, Top 5 Things, patron exclusive podcast here.
Hello there, Sam, hello there.
This happy phrase will do wonders for you. Learn to say it, it's so easy to do.
Hello there, patrons, and thank you for your support. We do shows just for you to say hello there, and thank you. Thank you for all of your support over the years. It's been years since we started doing this.
We do thank you. We thank you for your patronage. You're the ones that are paying for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is your show. Having said that,
yes,
you might not get a whole lot out of me outside of hello there. That might be all I have for you.
I don't know that there's a need for anything
I hope
else.
You didn't kick too much in.
That's why, you know, $3 a month, $6 a month.
Write it off.
Yeah, write it off. I don't know that you can write it off.
You could try.
I'd rather they didn't get us involved in their taxes.
Huh?
Let's not put that out there. I don't need that somebody knocking on my door saying, yeah, somebody's claiming $1,000 for Nacho Radio.
It's been proven you don't have to show your taxes.
Well, only...
Don't worry about it.
For the little people. That's what Leona Helmsley told me one night. We're having drinks. She said, taxes, David.
Oh, geez.
Taxes are for the little
that
people.
That woman was aggressive.
Mm, there's no question about it. Welcome.
She was very aggressive. And I complied. I said, she showed up and I said, hello there.
I had this thought that there are an infinite number of podcasts, right? I mean, there are millions
Everybody.
And millions of them. Every day someone starts a new podcast.
A brand new one.
Most of them are horrible. There's hundreds that are really, really very good.
You say so?
There are. Really are. There's too many really good podcasts to listen to. So the fact that you guys are listening to this and supporting it with money is crazy, but we very much appreciate
it. It's insane. You should probably be checked.
But the point I wanted to make was, out of all the podcasts, again, an infinite number, there's not a podcast on the internet that's given Marty Allen the love that we've given him. And I'm proud of that.
Not even the Marty Allen podcast.
Like, I wonder, is there a Marty Allen podcast?
True.
Marty Allen fans? The Marty cast?
Mm-hmm.
Hello Dear cast?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
If not, I think we're that thing. So we're thrilled that you're here. How'd your Valentine's Day end up going?
It went fine. I will tell you this.
Yeah.
What time were you... Did you go out for Valentine's Day?
We did. And the plan was to get out of here at like 4:30 before the mad rush.
Oh, well, no, the mad rush had already started at 4:30.
So we discovered.
Yes, because that's what I noticed coming home is, good God, you animals are scurrying around like it's hump day or something, which I guess it was actually
It was
Ass Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
Ass Wednesday.
Well, you mentioned
Ass Wednesday when it falls on Valentine's Day.
I see. That would explain.
It was like the holiday. It was like Christmas shopping traffic.
We went to a restaurant that I assumed we'd be able to get into at 4:30.
Uh-huh.
And they said, without a reservation, we're nuts. And I thought, reservation? This is not a place that
it wasn't
normally...
It was a place that typically has a reservation?
No. What are there? Maybe 3 restaurants in town that take reservations normally? I mean, how often do you make a reservation in this town?
Not often.
Not, I mean, ever, right?
I made a reservation to go get checked out by the doctor.
That's an appointment. And, that's not a reservation.
Well, it's kind of a reservation. And, of course, he told me nothing was wrong. You clearly have it in your head.
You mentioned Ass Wednesday. I guess this was something that went viral yesterday. The butt bouquet. Butt bouquets were all the rage yesterday. And if you got one of these, you know what I'm talking about. These are handcrafted arrangements that women were getting flowers and then sticking the flowers in their butts and then taking pictures of the flowers in their butts and sending
them
to them.
Now that almost makes Valentine's Day worthwhile.
Sending the pictures to the gentlemen in their lives.
All right.
Here's a butt bouquet. So yeah, they...
Can I see it?
Yeah, well, you have to kind of take a look here. Here's just a couple of them here.
All right!
And that's something else?
All right!
I guess this was a big deal. All different butts, all different colors, shapes and sizes, and all different flowers.
That's the best thing I've ever heard about Valentine's Day.
Is this a thing that'll become bigger and bigger? The butt bouquet. Arrangements inspired...
Careful with the thorns.
You basically use your butt as a vase.
Although, truth be told, those pictures you showed me looked like they were professionally done.
I think you're right. I think that these were done by a professional photographer, but I think that the spirit of it went beyond that.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah, yeah. But bouquets were big this year. I didn't get one, and, you know, I'm fine with that.
You didn't probably send flowers.
I didn't.
Well, then how are you going to get one?
It's a great point. Well, I don't know that the idea is send flowers and say, hey, why don't you stick these up your ass? I think the idea is that she gets the flowers and sticks them in her own butt.
No, it's got to be her.
It's part of the Me Too thing, man. They got to stick their own flowers in their butts. The days of telling women to put flowers in their butts, that's dead and buried. Harvey Weinstein ruined that for everyone. We're not doing that anymore. That's not a thing.
No, that's fine that it's their idea.
The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out, and it's crazy that that's still a thing. First of all,
it's crazy that Sports Illustrated is a thing.
Yeah.
Because it comes out, does it come out once a week or once every 2 weeks?
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They made the announcement in December, and now it's every other week.
But that's a lot of sports that goes. Why would you be interested in something that happened 2 weeks ago?
Well, I don't think the focus, and I haven't read a Sports Illustrated.
Is it really on scores?
It's a decade. I think it's all about like team dynamics and stories of what goes on in the locker room. It can't be about... Here's what happened this week in baseball. I think it's got to be like, here's a pitcher.
With Mel Allen.
How about that? No, I don't think that's the case. But I'm guessing. It can't possibly be about what happened. You know, it used to be that you needed a Sports Illustrated because you only got very narrow sports coverage in your local newspaper.
Well, it was the closest thing to porn when you're 12.
Right, so the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, yeah, and I guess I grew up during the golden age of that.
You sure did.
I mean, that was when it really came in handy.
Took off.
Well, now, you know, it's all this Me Too stuff is going on, so Sports Illustrated is wondering, how do we even put out an issue? And what they've done is they've taken like victims of sexual abuse and they've put them in the magazine naked but with writing on their bodies. And I don't know how to even process that.
Uh-huh.
Like the Allie Reisman, the gymnast, one of the many victims of that monster, Nasser.
Mm-hmm.
She's in there topless with like Survivor written on her.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a bunch of other naked women.
Big fan of the band.
I don't get it.
Eye of the Tiger.
High on You.
That's right.
Was that Survivor?
Sure was.
Was that the same lead singer?
I don't know that it was. Well, they had a couple different ones.
I know a lot of you are going to text this in. The Real Men of Genius campaign that Bud Light did, that was the singer from Survivor. The Real Men of Genius.
Yes, right.
That was the same guy. He passed away a couple of years ago.
He might have.
Yeah, I'm certain of it. But Survivor, were they from Chicago, Survivor?
Yes.
If you say so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or at least some of them were.
I think I'm right. You don't really think of them as a Chicago band. You know who is a Chicago band? It's
Chicago.
Smashing Pumpkins. And today is the anniversary of the first ever Chicago gig.
That's got to be a long time ago.
1967 was their first ever gig. They weren't even the Chicago Transit Authority yet.
Ew.
I think they were called like the Other Ones or something, or like the New Ones or something along those lines.
The Regulars. And then we had to change that to the New Regulars.
Stumpy Pete. Great look. Tall geek with glasses. Survivor the band is from Chicago. Formed in Chicago in 1978 by singer-songwriter Jim Petterick.
Yeah, who was from the Ides of March.
Yes.
We've been down this road.
He's from Berwyn. Now, he's still very much alive.
Yeah, with colored hair. And
his hair is red.
He's got colored hair.
He looks like, you know what he looks like? It's like Sharon Osbourne.
And mirrors on his shoes.
The Search is Over? I forgot about
that
one.
Right.
I mean, everyone thinks Eye of the Tiger, right? Burning Heart.
Yeah.
That
was from Rocky as well.
That went to number two on the charts.
Wow.
Eye of the Tiger, number one. Burning Heart, number two. The Search is Over, number four on the charts. High on You went to number eight. Is This Love? I'm not sure I remember that one. And then I Can't Hold Back went to number 13. Well, they had a lot of hits.
Well, that's bigger chart success than Giants. Giants of the industry. I bet Bruce Springsteen doesn't have that sort of chart success.
Smashing Pumpkins are getting back together with the original lineup, except for the bass player, and that's become a big how do you do.
Isn't one of them dead?
No. They're
not?
They had an organ player, Jonathan Melvoin. He played organs. He wasn't in the band.
Okay, so he was like an auxiliary player.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on for the Melancholy and Infinite Sadness tour. He was brothers of, was it Wendy or Lisa? From from the Revolution,
from Prince.
Yeah, they're not sisters, right? Because they were a couple.
Who, the girls?
Yeah, they were.
Were they a couple?
They were.
Nice.
Yeah, and which I think is terrific. You know,
no wonder they were so simpatico.
Yeah, yeah. Wendy and Lisa were lovers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, true story. So they're getting back together, and
I bet they like that Darling Nikki song.
Well, you know, it occurs to me when I listen to Prince music that a lot of times it's their voices that I enjoy better than Prince. Like Raspberry Beret.
He was a hack.
Well, I'm not suggesting that. But I think once the Revolution left, I like their voices, Wendy and Lisa's voices, as much as Prince. Does that make sense?
Now, what was his next band? Did he have another band? Prince and the...
Yeah, there was Prince and the Revolution, then it was Prince and the All-Star Cafe.
Hmm.
No, what were they called? Prince and the Unknown Soldiers.
He did.
You know what it was? It was Prince and the Spaghettis, I think is what it was called, and they only played on Wednesdays. No, he had another band, the New Power Revolution.
New Power...
New Power Generation?
New Power Generation.
New Power Generation.
Are you sure? Or is that just an energy drink?
It was the taste of a new generation. We were all crazy for it. Smashing Pumpkins are getting back together for a North American arena tour called Shiny and Oh So Bright. Begins in Arizona and ends in Boise, Idaho.
Ends in Arizona.
Billy Corgan is back with guitarist James Iha and drummer Jimmy Chamberlain, who, as Darren pointed out, killed a guy with some heroin years ago. Allegedly.
What about the girl?
Well, that's been a whole rhubarb because
they're going without girls this time.
Darcy, the bassist, he was texting her saying, "Yeah, we're going to get together. It's going to be great. We got Rick Rubin. We're doing the record, and I'll keep you in the loop. It'll be great."
Whatever happened?
And then they said we're doing this tour, and she's like, "I thought you said I was getting in the band." Oh, yeah, you don't want to be in the band. We got someone else.
Whatever happened to the little girls that are on that album cover?
The Siamese Dream Kids?
Yeah, I bet they're weirdos.
I had this thought the other day, listening to Metallica Enter Sandman. The little kid that does the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, he's probably like got five kids and is bald with a mortgage right now. That was 1991 when that kid was doing Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep with James Hetfield. What happened to that kid? Every once in a while, they'll do the story about the kid who was naked,
in the pool.
Naked for the Nirvana record. Yeah, he shows up. But I gotta imagine that this kid from the Enter Sandman...
I wonder if anybody makes that claim.
Well, it would be very believable.
Right.
I was the kid in the
Nirvana the Nirvana album.
And here's your pickup line.
Although I don't know if they believe it if I said it.
Well, no. You have to be of a certain age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't know if you could get away with that because everybody has a Google on their phone and they can just see that it's not you.
Well, you believed it for a second, didn't you?
You know, you really did. You really did. Those little girls from the... Siamese Dream album.
That's why
I find
it so interesting that friend of mine passed himself off. Now, this would have been like maybe even before Google.
Yeah.
Passed himself off as PGA Tour Pro Mark McCumber.
Both girls were located in 2008. Let's see. Lysandra Roberts and Ellie Langer.
How'd they get on that cover?
They were looking, I guess, in 2007, the last time the Pumpkins reformed, Billy Corgan said that they were looking for the girls from the album cover because they wanted to have a picture of them like as grown-ups.
Maybe you don't.
Now, they were not conjoined twins.
Was that the rumor?
Yeah, that was what... They were supposed to be Siamese twins.
Oh, well, sure, of course, that makes
having
sense.
Having a dream.
You know what?
You never connected the dots that it was called Siamese Dream and they were two girls that seemed to be connected at the chest?
I never got that.
Yeah, they were just... No, they
I never put that together.
No, they were not actual Siamese twins. That was just a
ruse.
A trick of the eye. That was
to this day. This is the first I'm hearing of that. Was that painfully obvious to you?
I always assumed they were Siamese twins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's
aren't they in a video?
In a dream, we are connected. Siamese dream, Siamese twins, side by side. Smashing Pumpkins is a band.
We are Siamese, if you please. We are Siamese, if you don't please.
Siamese, Smashing Pumpkins, a band that I've really never had any use for. They're fine. They're okay.
Oh, I thought you liked them.
They're okay.
His voice bothered me.
Never really passionate about them.
His voice,
never really.
I was weirded out by his voice.
I love the Pumpkins.
Weirded out by his voice.
Yeah.
Didn't care for it.
Yeah. A little sleepy time.
Why, there are no, I didn't see anybody from Siam represented in the Olympics.
Well, I don't think it's a country anymore. I don't think, it's Thailand now, right? It used to be Siam, and then he married that English lady, and things went nutty. They started, they was like dancing around and shaving his head and whatnot, and it went crazy.
Welcome, the people of Siam.
Now that would be cool. Siamese twins doing, conjoined twins doing,
play by play?
Doing like figure skating. Couples.
That would make sense.
Yeah, you're not, I don't think you're supposed to say Siamese twins. No. I think that's racist. I think you're supposed to say conjoined twins.
Yeah.
Boy, right?
That is a.
We call them Siamese twins because.
Tough
there, there was two brothers from Siam who toured the United States, and they were from Siam.
Yeah,
so now we call everyone Siamese twins, but you're not supposed to. I think that's
I think
that's racist.
You should.
Yeah.
Did you see where the Jamaican bobsled coach quit and then threatened to take the sled?
No. Tell me all about this.
I don't know. That's all I've heard. Just the cliff notes that I don't know why the Jamaican bobsled coach was upset, but apparently the bobsled, they're under the impression that it's their bobsled and they're taking the bobsled.
Oh my god, that's great. This is the Jamaican woman's bobsled coach.
Natch.
So this is their first ever Olympics. The women, they've never had a women's team.
They got in some sort
she
of
she was a Olympic bobsled gold medalist for Germany in 2006. She wants payments for the sled. Wow.
Now
the coach of the women's bobsled team says she's quit the squad and is demanding reimbursement of the team's sled, which she says she owns.
She owns the sled.
Sandra Karasis said she was forced out of her job when her role changed. She also said it was her contacts that led to the team securing its sled, and now she wants payment for it.
Oh, so she's not even there.
So, well, this is it. It's like, you wouldn't even know where to get a bobsled if it wasn't for me, so I'm taking it.
I'm a champion. You know what? You can have the bobsled when we're done with it.
Like, literally only need it for a couple more days.
Right, we're going to be done. It doesn't look like we're going to medal.
Probably not. So this is not a...
Although that does add to another layer if they do like another Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings 3, and this time she wants her sled back.
Bitch Runnings. That's the sequel. She's just I want my sled back. I paid for it.
Of course you want it now.
The people at Red Stripe are saying, if she takes the bobsled, we'll buy you a new one. Well, you really need to get this figured out, because the Olympics
is
not
tonight.
Forever.
It's tonight.
Red Stripe tweets that if the Jamaican team needs a ride, they can just put it on the tab.
Well, then why didn't you buy them one in the first
place?
Why did you let a German get involved? You're going to trust a German?
I was told out of the blue, she says in a statement. This is the disgruntled judge of the Jamaican ladies bobsled team. She says, without giving any reasons, I was told out of the blue that with immediate effect, I should work only as a track and performance analyst. Well, really, what is there to do being the coach of the bobsled team? How about you girls get in the sled and go down the hill?
Well, stay off the track for one thing. Get yourself killed. It doesn't seem to me, from what I've seen, like the people racing in the skeleton and the luge and all that stuff. First of all, I don't think that you could. It doesn't look like there are very good seats, because you can't see much of the track.
No.
And it seems to me, from what I've seen, a lot of people who are there not paying attention.
No, they could care
less. Like they're
less.
Turned when the luge goes by.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you looking at?
I've really gone out of my way not to watch a lot of the Olympics.
Why?
Well, one, it's just on so late, and two, I don't care. Like, all of this...
I've watched quite a bit of it.
All of this snowboarding stuff, it just feels to me like these are events that we created. Like, Shaun White wins a gold medal again. Of course he did. Like, we came up with these knucklehead things. Okay, snowboarding. Sure. How is snowboarding in the Olympics?
Well...
It just seems... Like, I get X Games, I get that, but this seems silly. And it's cool, I guess, these 17-year-old kids...
going on right now.
They're doing the X Games during the Olympics?
I could have swore I saw the X Games on the other day.
That makes zero sense to me. I was watching the dog show where they were doing dog competitions on Fox because all the other networks just kind of give up during the Olympics. And I've been watching a lot of competitive dog stuff, as you know. I sent you pictures of the dog World's Wettest Dog competition that was on where they were.
Uh-huh.
They measure how far these dogs can jump into the water.
Yeah, well, and that's not what we do.
And then Westminster... I know it's a different show, but still,
it's a completely different show.
And then Westminster was going on, and they had the competition, the skills competition, where the dogs were running in tunnels and jumping over things.
Yeah.
I couldn't get enough of it.
Uh-huh.
It was all the fun of having and loving a dog without any of the work or maintenance. Just these adorable dogs. Yeah. Like, that should be a TV station. Just dogs all the time. And then,
sure, they've got it somewhere.
Well... I don't have it on my. I don't have it on my package.
There's got to be pet TV somewhere, isn't there?
Well, I mean, there's sometimes they'll do like blocks where it's like puppies and stuff, but it's on Animal Planet,
right?
But that's just some of the time. And then sometimes you go to Animal Planet.
Parolees.
Yeah, I don't want to see pit bulls. I want to see dogs that I would have in my house.
You wouldn't have a pit bull in your house?
No, absolutely not. Mm. And if you love pit bulls,
even from a puppy.
No, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And if you have a pit bull and you love the pit bull, I say go with God. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's just not something I'm putting up with.
Well, you don't have any dogs in here.
I don't. I'm
the only ones you have is to.
I'm allergic.
You say you're allergic.
I am. Invite me over sometime. See how long I last.
That kind of sounds fun.
You want to take bets on it? Like how long it takes before I break out in hives?
But you don't break out with the cat.
Different animal. Although, I think the cat is why I have bronchitis all the time, if I'm being honest.
My brother is developing allergies, and he tends to think it's the two cats.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the cat doesn't...
I mean, he's never had allergies. He's now, just like each and every one of us,
right.
He's getting older, and now all of a sudden he's getting allergies, and he tends to think...
Mm-hmm.
It's those cats.
Well, it's not that I'm allergic.
Darn cats.
It's not that I'm allergic to dogs. I'm allergic to pet dander, right? It's dogs and cats equally.
So,
this cat doesn't do as much dander as other cats would, because the gray cats I tend to do okay with for whatever reason, because this cat looks just like the other cat we had. But this cat, I think, is a little worse than the other one as far as the old dander-rooney goes. And being locked up in it all winter is, I think, why I'm only on one lung right now, between you and me. But I can't get rid of the cat because everybody loves the cat. And I know if I say it's her or me, I know what the answer
will
be.
Who loves the cat more?
In this house?
The boy or the
boy
wife?
The boy and the cat are inseparable.
Really?
Best friends forever, yeah.
Never seen them together.
Oh, they're the best.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Still.
It's like a boy and his dog, but it's a cat.
Boy and a cat.
Yeah, and she messes with them. They have the most fun.
Oh.
And the wife loves
pretty
the cat,
fun,
too.
Very
yeah.
fond as well.
I know if I said it's me or the cat, I know what the answer would be, which is why I don't offer that ultimatum. But it'll be fine.
Boy, I mean, because it would be costly to build on another room.
Oh, well, then I'm going to just live in that room while the cat has the run of the house? You can't. That's not fair to
well,
do that to an animal.
And the other two people.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, they could just slide something through like, here's your meal.
Thinking about getting one of them Three Seasons rooms like you got at your place.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they
just
are.
Just putting that out in the
best.
Backyard. But, I mean, not. It's not happening.
Well, because...
This isn't going to happen, by the way, for like another 10 years.
Yeah, this.
It's just something we've thought about doing.
You should think about it, because we also have the deck.
Yeah.
We don't use the deck.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we did. We did somewhat when we were younger, but... that other room is the one that gets used.
I mean, that's what I said. Every time I go to Darren's, we're just in that Three Seasons room, and it's the greatest.
You could tear down that deck, and it wouldn't matter to me.
And that Three Seasons room, you get at least, what, 9 months of use out of that, 10 months?
Well, I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I would use it all the time. I could, you know, if you get, like, this weekend, I'll be sitting out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's February.
So you'll be enjoying that.
Well, I don't know if I'll enjoy it, but I'll do it.
There is an 11% chance that Elon Musk's Tesla is on a collision course with Earth. This I
thought
love.
It was on its way to Mars.
Well, they don't really know. Originally, the thing was supposed to go to the sun, and now they're saying they made some miscalculations, and now it's going to Mars. And now Tesla is saying, well, we've taken a look at the trajectory, and there's a chance that Starman might be making his way back to Earth.
Well, it's already on its way back to Earth.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, it turns out putting a roadster in space...
What is the worst thing? Now, is that thing going to be operational when it gets back down here?
I wouldn't think so.
That you can drive
that car? I wouldn't think so.
You can drive Starman?
I'm guessing they probably didn't put an engine in it, right? That'd be a waste. It's probably just the chassis and the Starman, right?
Yeah.
They ran the numbers.
It's all written off anyway.
They ran the numbers on this Tesla Roadster's journey through space, and knowing what they know about orbital dynamics, they say that they've run the orbit forward several million years, and at some point, they think there's an 11% chance that this thing could.
Now, where would be the worst place it could crash?
I don't know.
I mean, for him.
Well, Tesla? The New World Trade Center? That would be bad publicity.
That would be bad.
This isn't good.
Oh, I just brought that down.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, bro.
If the thing slammed into one Trade Center tower, that'd be the that would be the worst.
That wouldn't be good.
Can you give me one worse than that?
Mm.
They say the bottom line is we can't predict with certainty
wouldn't be good.
What's going to happen after a few hundred years because it's chaotic orbit and we can only draw conclusions in a statistical set.
It won't come back for 200 years?
Probably not going to happen in our lifetime. They say there's a 6% chance the Tesla will collide with Earth in the next million years.
I think they're making this up.
There's a
2.5% out numbers.
They think there's a 2.5% chance the thing will hit Venus before it goes to the sun.
They haven't done any of this studying.
When you look 3 million years into the future, they say there's an 11% chance that it could slam into Earth. It's not coming back anytime soon. And they think too it'll burn up in the atmosphere. Maybe one major component would reach the surface of the Earth. They say even if it's a million years from now, there's really no risk. To health and safety whatsoever.
I don't think they've even had enough time to put these numbers together.
Well, I mean, it's all done with computers, right? It's all computer stuff. As Viv Savage used to say, computer magic is what we're dealing with here. Hey, speaking of the scary, terrifying future, thanks to climate change, maple syrup shortages may be coming soon.
Mm. I can see that.
Redheads, bananas, and now maple syrup are things we can't have anymore. Maple syrup, they say...
Get your banana pancakes as quick as you can.
Climate change could render the maple syrup extinct. A study published last month in the journal Ecology, and yes, we do subscribe, they examined and assessed how environmental conditions are impacting the growth of more than 1,000 sugar maple trees all over the state of Michigan. Between the years 1994 and 2013. And they say that just in those years, 94 to 2013, climate change has led to warmer, drier growing seasons, stunting the growth of sugar maples.
Yeah, but how many of us actually eat legitimate maple syrup?
So most of what...
It's all... The stuff that we eat has to be just basically corn syrup and some sort of... flavor, right?
I will say this. When you have honest-to-God maple syrup, it is a completely different experience.
Yeah, we're not eating real
Aunt
maple
Jemima
syrup.
Aunt Jemima is just corn syrup.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. The average U.S. sugar maple tap produced about one quarter of a gallon in 2017. Vermont's getting one-third of a gallon out of sugar maples. So they don't really give you a lot of maple syrup for each
tree. Well, that's why if you bought the real stuff, it's going to cost you a lot more than what you're paying for.
Yeah, so what does real maple syrup go for?
Oh, crazy.
I'm going to look
crazy.
Here.
A little tiny bottle's probably well over $20.
All right, I'm going to go here and look for real maple syrup on Amazon just to see.
Real
maple syrup. All right.
The best.
All right. An 8-ounce tin of maple syrup, $16.
There you go.
It's about $2 an ounce.
It's like perfume.
Yeah. Butternut Mountain Farm 100% Vermont maple. Here's a quart of it for $15. So
now is that the sort of thing you'd like for a birthday present?
Real maple syrup?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd not like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Be, oh, well, geez. I can't wait to have pancakes.
It's a really fancy, but very not fancy thing.
Well, exactly. It's only still $15.
Yeah, I don't feel like a dick putting real maple syrup on my. You know, I don't feel like. If I put real maple syrup, I'm not thinking like, boy, this is money that could have gone to starving orphans. It's like, you know what? I'm having a little maple syrup. It's not that extravagant, but it's extravagant enough.
Yeah.
That's right in my wheelhouse. You're very perceptive, Darren.
I know I am.
It's almost like you've known me for decades. Hmm. Abraham Lincoln, you know, President's Day is coming up.
Monday.
We just had Abe's birthday. The last living descendant of Abraham Lincoln.
Well, that's no good.
This is a tricky story, though. This cat's name is Tim Beckwith. He may be
Are you fighting Illini, coach?
A different guy. Different guy. What was his thing? The win to win. What was his thing? Twint.
I don't know. He was
the will to win.
He was
total effort. What was it?
It was.
What is that guy doing?
Was clearly insane.
This is an attorney. His name is Tim Beckwith, and he may or may not be the last living descendant of Abraham Lincoln.
Well, he better get busy.
Well, here's the thing. It's a little tricky. When he was a toddler, there was a very public court fight.
He wore a stove
yeah. The fake beard and all of it.
Why not? Look at me.
He was allegedly the child of Abraham Lincoln's great-grandson. But this was challenged in court.
That doesn't make sense.
Because Robert Beckwith was reported to have had a vasectomy years before, and he argued, this kid can't be my kid. Obviously, my wife was stepping out on me, all right? So Robert Beckwith was the great-grandson of Abraham Lincoln. That is not disputed.
Wouldn't it have to be more than just the great-grandson?
No. That's how it works, man.
I would think it would be like the great-great-grandson. Great-great-grandson.
There are great-grandchildren of the president that was like four or five presidents before Lincoln still alive.
Who was that that was?
Is it Polk that still has grandchildren? It's ridiculous.
Something.
So Abraham Lincoln's great-grandson, this Tim Beckwith is in his like late 40s now. So his dad was the great-grandson of Abraham Lincoln. Again, that's not disputed. Robert Beckwith said, I had a vasectomy, so I don't know how.
Why would you do that if you're part of Lincoln's family?
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that either.
I know, I'm going to cut this off right now.
You know what? Lincoln dies with me.
This ends with me.
So when Robert Beckwith died back in 1985, he was again the great-grandson of Lincoln.
I wonder if one of his lines would be like when he was getting ready to, it's like, welcome to the gland of Lincoln.
That would be so.
I don't know if that would turn you on or not. Probably not.
Consider yourself zing.
Zing of the day.
That would do something for me.
Oh, my God.
I'd be like, and when it was time to. No, never mind. I better not. Never mind. I'm going to walk away from that one.
Even on a patron show. Must have been awful.
It's not good.
Not good.
So the mother, who was Robert Beckwith's second wife, who again, he was the great-grandson of Abraham Lincoln. The wife refused to allow a blood test, but she insisted, no, it's your kid, vasectomy or not. But it's a little strange that she refused to do a blood test,
well,
right?
It is, but people have had vasectomies and then gone on to have children.
Happens a lot.
It has happened.
Yeah, and then, yeah. They're not 100%.
No.
So dad dies in 1985. The mother quietly accepts a settlement in which they waived all claims to presidential bloodline. And it turns out a trust fund worth millions of dollars.
Have you heard these commercials about these vasectomies now? And they're very popular because you got your NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, March Madness is a time when a lot of people get snipped.
Exactly. But, well, you don't get. They talk about you're not getting snipped. They're talking about a non-incision, non-laser vasectomy. It's like, so what do they do? Just punch you in the sack?
I think that's what they do. I think you just get a good punch in the sack. So they gave him $1 million, and they said, here, you get this, you don't get the rest of the Lincoln money. So now, He's 49 years old.
What kind of money did Lincoln have?
Well, that's it. If you're in the Lincoln family, there was a trust that was worth millions.
Really?
They gave him $1 million to say, I'll go away and I don't have any claim to it. So that's kind of weird. Why would you take $1 million if you knew that the trust was worth many more millions?
Yeah.
Unless mom knew. Again, the fact that she refused to let the kid have a blood test, I think's a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
Little bit of a Confederate flag, if I'm being honest. So now this guy doesn't want to talk about it. He wants to just keep it in the family.
Keep it real.
Yeah. Robert Todd Lincoln Beckwith was the grandson of Robert Todd Lincoln, the only one of Abraham Lincoln's four children who reached adulthood. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then Robert Todd would go to court to have his mother, Mary's widow, Mary Todd, institutionalized. When she died, just 4 months after being in a nut house, she died of a stroke. She left her son Robert, her only heir, her 64 trunks of goods, and an estate.
Oh my God! I got to go through 64 trunks.
64.
Of just
Mary
crap?
Todd Lincoln. You know a lot.
It was probably just a bunch of used Kleenex.
Yeah. Well, which was weird because Kleenex hadn't been invented yet.
Well, whatever.
It was probably like fingernails and God only knows.
Ugh.
She left her only heir, again, a son who had her institutionalized, 64 trunks of goods, as well as an estate of more than $84,000. That's $2 million in today's money. So you invest that money, you put it in a trust, and then Robert Todd had three children. One son died of blood poisoning. Then there was two daughters. One had only one son, Robert Todd Lincoln Beckwith, and it goes on and on and on. But this guy who may be the last living descendant of Abraham Lincoln probably isn't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't want to talk about it, which I think also leads you to believe that something a little weird's going on there.
I don't trust it.
Charles Manson still hasn't been buried.
He's been on ice for 3 months, which is probably what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
Truth be told.
Yeah. There are at least four people fighting to claim the body of Charles Manson. Two relatives and two other men who insist they have the only valid Charles Manson will.
What was the name of that big, what was the name of the whale that they took out on?
Right.
We talked about this years ago.
Yeah, right. The whale that was out on
the whale
on
that
display.
Was out on, the whale that was out on, the, out on the freezer for years.
And you claimed, you saw it.
I saw it.
In Moline, right?
I did see it as a child.
The frozen whale in a truck.
I think they gave you, was it like Little something? Little?
Little Irvy, the frozen whale.
Little Irvy.
Little Irvy.
The frozen whale. I think they gave you a popsicle, too.
Which seems weird that you would eat a popsicle that was kept in a room with a dead whale.
I did it.
Little Irvy was a 20-ton whale that was harpooned on July 1st, 1967. They were going to turn him into dog food.
Uh-huh.
But instead, a showman,
yeah.
Jerry Tyrone Malone, froze the whale with liquid nitrogen and spent the next 25 years hauling that frozen whale carcass
frozen
around the United
fish.
States in a refrigerated truck. It was a sideshow
attraction. I saw it up there on 23rd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Little Irvy.
Malone would advertise Little Irvy with a sign that said, "This exhibit is dedicated to the preservation of whales." Little Irvy.
So through 92, you could have seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a book you could
buy.
Hopefully
they didn't finally turn it into dog food.
Not well,
after
no.
it had been preserved
27
like that.
Years, no, nobody wants that.
Dogs.
Now, why not turn Charles Manson into dog food? Maybe he'd like that, but then you get crazy dogs. The whole point of a will and testament, if my understanding is correct, that you have to be of sound mind and body, right?
Yeah, so I don't think he gets to write one.
So how does Charles Manson get to write a will? He doesn't, right?
No.
That's not...
Although he probably does. He gets to say that. Charles Manson being of sound body, and then just kind of winks.
Just kind of looks around.
You guys, anyone get the art? Anyone get that one?
You know I'm doing a bit, right?
Doing a bit now. So,
you feel blame like Hooch Bob Drop Frenish?
Yeah, he had to.
I do. You feel like Hooch Bob Drop Frenish? Get Frenish, Hooch Bob Drop Frenish?
Right? I mean, I don't know how you argue with that logic.
Yeah, he had to do one of those videos and then just kind of smile.
Charles Manson. And like he did it probably in like a real serious voice at the beginning.
Charles Manson.
Are you guys buying this? No, I'm kidding.
This is good, isn't it?
I'm kidding, of course. I'm out of my mind. Finally, with President's Day coming up, patrons, thank you so much for listening. They have discovered a lock of George Washington's hair.
Now, do we celebrate all the presidents?
Yes.
Or is it just a couple? Because I thought back in the day it was just Washington, Lincoln.
Yeah, when we were growing up, and
that's it.
Yeah, it used to be when we were growing up, you got Lincoln's birthday and you got Washington's birthday.
And then they combined them.
And then it became President's Day.
Although I thought it was a situation years ago where the whole country got President's Day off, but Illinois still got Lincoln's birthday off. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I think Lincoln's a bigger deal in
Illinois. And then Washington.
President's Day is always on Washington's birthday. It's a U.S. federal holiday. Washington's it's always birthday. The third Monday in February, right?
That's not always his birthday.
Well, it's when it's observed. So President's Day is Washington's birthday. So it celebrates.
He did come first.
Yeah, father of our country. And now they found a lock of his hair discovered in an old book. Isn't that nuts?
So we can clone him.
If we wanted to. It's his pigtail. The poofy part in the back. The roll of perfect curls near his neck.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it was...
What's that go for?
I imagine it's... I guess... Well, this is
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it because I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to wear it.
I didn't know this about the father of our country, George Washington. He had a habit of giving his hair away, like as a gift.
Huh.
There's a lock of his hair on display at Mount Vernon, which his wife is said to have cut from his head at the end of his presidency and given to friends who put it in a locket. I guess in the 18th century, that wasn't weird to do back then, I guess.
Well, he knew he was the first president.
People would give their hair as pre-engagement gifts or as memorials or just to say, hey, I like you. I'd like you to have some of my hair. Because it's the late 1700s.
What else am I going to give you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get you a Swatch watch? Jesus Christ. Just fought the British off and founded a country.
Uh-huh.
Here's some hair. What, you think I'm going to get you a chia pet?
Long, beautiful hair.
So I guess there are other locks of hair of Washington around, but now they just discovered it. A librarian discovered this in the back of an old book. Yeah, George Washington's hair. They said that's Washington's hair. And he's like, the Washington? That's crazy. But there it is, discovered hidden in an old book. Patrons, we couldn't do the show without your support. That's why we do shows just like this, just for you. Hopefully you're enjoying some of the older shows. I love when you guys text in to say that you're listening to like show 200.
Right, that's
or
fun.
Or show, you know, 390. I mean, we're closing in on 700 episodes here. Yeah.
Episode 12?
Yeah. I mean, it's the fact that you guys enjoy the show to the point where you're willing to go back and re-listen to things and rediscover things. God knows there's been plenty of content in the last 3.5 years.
Was it episode 2 where I had to walk here? Because there was something to do with Rhonda's keys.
Yeah, that was the first week. There was some issue.
It was like episode 2.
Could be.
That I was just spitting mad.
I do remember that, now that you mention it.
Episode 2, and I'm already
as a patron, you can go back and listen to those.
Listen to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of hours of Dave and Darren, and we appreciate you guys making all of that happen. Yeah. So, and even though the patron thing didn't start until halfway through,
couple years in,
you guys have obviously been here from jump. Or if you're someone who's just discovered the podcast,
we appreciate it.
Yeah. Do you think there's a segment of the audience that never heard us on the radio that only knows us as a podcast?
Has to be somebody,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, I guess just statistically with the numbers, there's got to be a certain percentage. I'm going to put it at 11%.
Like
11%?
Like a
over under
like
11%.
Like a 3-year-old that listens.
No, I'm just saying, like, we've been doing this for 3.5 years.
I know.
So there's got to be over under 11% have never heard us on the radio. They just know us as a podcast.
Over under 11%?
That's what I'm saying. Would you take the over or the under on that?
Under on that.
I feel good about that number, though. I feel good about that. I could go either way. Arguments could be made. My point is, patrons, thanks for all of your support. Thanks for all that you do, not only financially, which, of course, keeps things running smoothly, But just, you know, continuing to support the show and telling people to listen and writing in and doing
supporting
all that
our
stuff.
Sponsors. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, that's also cool too. We aren't really mentioning the sponsors because you're the sponsors today, but
you certainly are.
You guys know who they are. All right, that's going to have to do it for this installment, patrons-only show.
We're back early next week, so I'll be listening for one that everyone gets to hear.
What do you think about Tuesday? Does Tuesday work for you?
We'll talk.
We'll figure it out.
We'll talk.
We'll figure it out. Until we get a chance to do it for you then, thank you, patrons, and hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keepin' it locked. Ride, guys, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline.